Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I want to go to the book of Habakkuk tonight. So, yeah, it's in the Old Testament. I'll give you a little while to find that, but not too long, all right? Habakkuk chapter 2. Or Habakkuk, however you say it, or Habakkukuk, whatever. However you pronounce it, I say Habakkuk. So let's go there, chapter 2. And tonight, I want to talk about, and I have talked about this before, but I'm going to talk about it again tonight. It's been a while. I'm going to talk about don't dig up your faith seed. Amen. And you'll find out what I'm talking about here in just a little bit. Don't dig up your faith seed. Now, Phyllis and I had a friend, a dear friend. Many of you knew him too, Leon Powell. And Leon preached here a number of times over the years, and he was just real close with us. We would spend time sometimes, just spend a few days at his house with him in Virginia, go visit them and just stay there. And we preached for one another. He preached for us many times. I preached for him when he pastored some too, other than besides his traveling. And so, but one day, one time, he told me this story. He said he was trying to sell his house, and it just wasn't selling. And so he had a friend. His name was Charles Capps. I remember Brother Capps. He's in heaven now. And Brother Capps was a close friend of Leon's. And so Leon, just his house wasn't moving. So one day Brother Capps was at Leon's house, and Leon told Brother Capps, you know, about his house and about needing to sell it. And so Brother Capps did something. He said he looked at Leon's house. And he said, I call you sold. Somebody wants to buy you. And when he said that, he looked at Leon and said, now don't dig that up. Now take me to the airport. I'm going home. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. Don't dig that up. Don't dig up the faith seed. How many know if a plant, if you just keep digging it up, how many know eventually, it's just not going to make it. Or you keep digging up your seed and checking to see if something's happening, Well, I don't see anything. I'm going to dig it up and take a look. You just need to leave it planted. How do you know that? So I want to talk to you about that tonight. And really, we're talking about, if you have faith projects in your life that you need to leave the seed planted. And don't just dig it up. Now, let's go here to Habakkuk chapter 2. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I'll see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved or I'm corrected. And so, sometimes we need a little correction. Sometimes maybe we're off a little bit. You have to be off far to get way off. If you're just a degree off or so and you're flying from here to Tulsa, the time you get to Tulsa, you're not going to be at Tulsa. You're going to be way off. Probably in Mexico somewhere, because it doesn't take much. And so the Lord said, the prophet said, what I shall answer when I'm reproved. And verse 2, and the Lord answered me. So the Lord said something to him. He said to me, write the vision, and notice this, make it plain. How many know you need to make it plain what you're believing for? Amen. You need to be clear in your mind what it is you're believing for. Not just generic about it. You need to be plain about it and get it settled, because your faith won't work for you if you don't get specific, in some ways get specific about it and know what you're actually believing for. Amen. I just believe God undertake. Well, he's not an undertaker. That's from old Pentecost. They used to use, remember that? They used to use that for, they pray the Lord would undertake. They got that out of the King James Version. Hezekiah said it, but God wants us to be specific, amen? He wants us to know what we're believing for, and we clearly define what we're believing for, and don't be muddy about it. Right. Amen? Don't be muddy about it and fuzzy about it and like, well, maybe if that doesn't happen, don't have plan B. Come on. The Lord said that to me years ago. I don't remember what it's about now, but I was believing for something, and I was believing God, but in the back of my mind, I thought, if he doesn't come through this way, then I've got this backup. And the Lord said, you might as well go ahead and use that. Aren't you glad he's just honest with you sometimes? He said, you might as well go ahead and use that. If you got plan B, you might as well go ahead and use it because that's what you're going to need. God's just got a plan. How many know that?
Amen.
You know, the Bible does say that, and there's multitudes of ways. No, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. So you need to make it plain. And he said, make it plain. Notice this, verse 2. He said, make it plain upon tables, or tablets, we would say. Write the vision, and make it plain upon tablets that he may run that reads it. How many know you can't run if it's not plain? You got to have a plain vision of what you're believing for. Amen? And the vision, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Everybody say appointed time. So there's an appointed time, right? But at the end, it shall speak. Now, that's important you understand that. See, the vision or what you're believing for, your faith project, it's not speaking yet, but at the end, it's going to speak. You got to speak for it. Hallelujah. I mean, you may have a vision of, you know, you may have a vision of having and maybe a God vision. You know, I'm not talking about something that you just made up, but you may have a God vision. You know, I'm talking about people that are in ministry. A person in ministry may have a God vision of a worldwide ministry traveling around the world. And right now, you know, they're not getting out of Vandenberg County. They're not getting out of Boonville. And, you know, and you would tell people, you know, your vision, it's not, I mean, you're going to have to talk for it because it's not talking. But there'll be a day if you stay with it, it'll talk. At the end, amen, when it comes to completion or fruition, it'll speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. So sometimes we do have to wait for it. Amen. I don't know about you. I don't like waiting any more than you do. I'm working on it, but I'm not over that yet. I still don't like to wait. Amen. I like it instant. Because it will surely, you know, even coffee's gotten so much easier. I thank God for it. You know, I remember the days, and some of you are old enough, Pastor Jerry is, and remember the days where, you know, you put the grounds in there and it started percolating, you know. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, Kenny remembers it when you put it on the campfire, you know, and got it off with a stick, you know, and all. He remembers that. But I'm just talking about normal people. We don't, you know, we remember the percolator thing. Remember the glass thing, and you'd watch it go with, you know, and you'd take a little while, man. You'd put it on the stove, you know, and heat it up, and it'd cook your coffee. And but now, you know, I mean, I got one of the Keurig things, you know, and I think it's too slow. You know, I push the button. I'm thinking, man, hurry up, heat up. I got stuff to do. You know, you put a little cup in there, flip it down, and there's your coffee. Amen. Now, but God doesn't work that way. He says, wait for it because it will surely come. And he says, it will not tarry. Now, what it means when he says it will not tarry is he's saying it will not be late. Amen. Now, you know, this means if we're doing what we need to do, if we keep digging the seed up, it's not going to get there at the time God wanted to get there. It may eventually get there, but if we do what God says, if we do what God's telling Habakkuk here, then it'll get here on time. It won't be late. But notice this is really important. Verse 4, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, or the one that's proud doesn't have an upright soul. But the just shall live by faith. See, the upright, you know, they don't live by faith. But those that are upright, those who are upright, live by faith. Yeah. Amen. Amen? See, a lot of people think that we're upside down because we live by faith. But we're actually upright. You ever seen a bug, you know, certain types of bugs, beetle bugs or whatever, and they get on their back? You know, and they're just, you know, I'll help them out. I'll, like, you know, put them back over right, you know. As long as they're in their domain, I don't squish them. Amen. If they're in the house, they're in my domain. You're dead, sucker. But as long as he's in his domain, hey, the outside is his place. This is where God put him. But if he gets in the house, I have orders from the tops, from the top, to assassinate him. I have orders. Amen. And so he's a goner. But, you know, he's not upright. You got to flip him up to get him going, you know, so he can get going again, you know. Well, you know, listen, if you're really upright with God, I mean, what I'm saying is if you're really thinking right, your thinking is right, it's upright, you live by faith. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. And so if the faith project is going to come to pass, it's going to have to be by faith. We're going to have to live by faith. Amen. Amen. Not just use our faith, but live by faith. Amen? So there's a big difference between just using your faith, but living by faith. We need to live by faith. Amen. You know, so he says at the end, it'll speak. Amen. Listen, here's the thing about God. You know, God declares the end from the beginning. How many know that? That's what Isaiah said. I'm God, I declare the end from the beginning. But he doesn't do the end from the beginning. I would like for him to do the end from the beginning. But he tells you sometimes what he's going to do, but he doesn't do it that way. Now, he declares the end from the beginning, but he doesn't do it that way. He doesn't do the end from the beginning. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go there. Hebrews 11 chapter. We're just talking about this. Don't dig up your faith seed. Make sure you leave it planted where it's supposed to be. Hebrews 11. And this is a familiar scripture, but let's look at it in the light of what we're talking about tonight. All right, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So the things that you would hope for are the things that aren't seen. That's your faith project, right? I mean, you wouldn't need to be believing for it if you had it. Right? I mean, you know, there's certain things I'm not believing for. I already have them. So so we could say it this way: faith is my seed. Faith's my seed to my harvest. So you need to see faith as a seed. It's a seed that you plant. Now, you know, it depends on what kind of harvest you want. You know, but that's why the Bible talked about. One of the things that talk about, make it plain. In other words, decide what you want. Decide what you're believing God for. Amen? Amen. You know, the Lord told Brother Hagin a long time ago, he said, I'll meet people where they're at, you know, whatever level they want to be on, I'll meet them there. It doesn't mean that's his top high level, but he'll meet them whatever level they're at, you know. You know, one time Brother Hagin got disobedience and he fell and busted his arm up, you know, and had to go to the hospital and get it taken care of, you know. And the Lord told him, he said, well, the reason you got it busted up is because you got out of my will. And it wasn't like God wasn't saying I did it to you. He's just saying you got out of my will, you got out of my perfect plan, and the devil put that on you. That's what happened there. Amen. And a lot of times that can be the case, a lot of times. I'm not saying every time, but, and the Lord told him, he said to Brother Hagin, he said, I'm not, he said, now I could heal this. Right now, I could heal this immediately. He said, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let you think about this for a while. Hallelujah. You know, God's a good parent. How many know that? So he said, here's what I'm going to do. He said, if you'll believe me, he said, I'll miraculously speed the healing of that up. And they were telling him 6 weeks before it would be fixed and they could take the cast off and all that. He didn't have to wear it in a sling and all that. So the Lord said, if you'll believe me, he said, I'll speed it up. He said, that's not my perfect will. He said, my perfect will is to instantly heal the thing. Are you with me now? See, but he said, because of what you did, no, he said, I'm just going to let you think about this for a while. Hallelujah. You know, and so he said, sure enough, he said, you know, I had the cast put on, you know, and he said, after 2 weeks, he said, my arm, of course, was swollen and everything, and, you know, but and that cast was fit good. He said, but after 2 weeks, he said, man, my arm was just walling around in that cast. So I went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, you know, we'll cut that off and take a look. And the doctor cut it off and took a look at his arm, and he said, Reverend, that's a miracle. He said, your arm's already totally healed. He said, I don't need to put another cast back on you. Just let it go. Amen. Amen. Now, I like what Brother Hagin said. Jesus said to him, he said, that wasn't my best. He said, but, you know, that's where you were at because of your disobedience, basically. I'm going to let you live in that. Hallelujah. It's good preaching, isn't it? I can tell you're excited about it. But, you know, sometimes we have to learn some lessons. How many know that? And God, but what I was really trying to get at is God will meet you where you're at. If you want Him to help the doctors, how many know He'll do that? Right. But there's also divine instant healings at times too, that He'll do that too. That's really His best. That's His divine, you know, the best that He has for you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, actually, God's best is divine healing, divine health. Yeah. Walking in, that's His best. But, you know, we're all striving for His best, aren't we? Yeah. And we haven't maybe arrived, but we ought to be aiming for it. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. So just so we're clear about this, that, you know, this, our faith, the seed, you know, it's the seed we put in the ground that brings the harvest. If we're not believing, then there's no seed in the ground. Now, Galatians said this. Matter of fact, let's just go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and read that scripture. There's a few things I want to just talk about tonight and just deposit this in you that, you know, if you've got a faith project, don't dig the thing up. You know, like Brother Capps told Leon, no, don't dig that up. Don't dig that up. Now, I didn't finish that story, but let me finish that story. Here's what happened. I forget how long Leon had his house for sale. I'm going to say, I think he told me 6 months. And, you know, he was moving the ministry to do something else. He moved 27, 29 times. And, you know, and he had a really weird way of moving. I guess it worked for him, but he moved, I think he told us 27 times, 29 times he'd moved in the ministry, just different things and doing different things in the ministry. But he told me, he said, now here's the way I move. He said, I load everything on the, he called it a Yaha, and I load everything on the Yaha, and he said, I go to my new house, and he said, I set up one room at a time. He said, just for instance, if it's the kitchen, I take everything that belongs in the kitchen, put all the dishes away, put all the silverware away, amen, put all the pictures on the wall in the kitchen, and then we go to the living room, and he said, when I get done with the last picture on the wall, we're totally done. I thought, that's pretty good. I just take it and throw it all in the garage, and in 6 or 7 months, we'll have it all out eventually. You know, we drag out, you know, when we find, where's that at? Well, it's out in the garage. Drag it in the house. Come on, anybody else move kind of like that? All right. You know, put stuff in I need immediately, but drag the rest in over time, man. Find out some of that stuff, you can just throw it away and give it to Goodwill. But anyway, what happened was, he said 2 weeks, or a week, 2 weeks. I think it was 2 weeks after Brother Cap said that to his house. He said, I get up one morning, and he said, I'm making coffee, and I got a big picture window in my house, and it looks out on the street. He said, I saw a black Lincoln pull up in front of my house and park there, and he's just sitting there, and he said, I'm watching this guy, and he gets on the cell phone. And he said, when he gets on the cell phone, my phone rings. And he picks it up. Leon answers it. And the guy says, yeah, he said, I'd like to look at your house. And Leon said, well, when would you like to come? He said, well, I'm out front right now. Well, you know, you want to sell a house? Come on in, you know. So he said, well, come on in. He said the guy came in and had his checkbook with him and said, I'm going to buy your house. And bought it. Hallelujah. Don't dig up your faith seed. What happened? I don't know. For some reason, Leon, faith guy, don't misunderstand me, but I guess his seed wasn't in the ground. But once it got put in the ground, harvest came. Amen. 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 A lot of times we wish things would change, but that's not a faith seed. How many know wishing's not the same as faith?
Right.
Amen. So Galatians said this, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says this, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, I have if circled in my Bible, and I have it highlighted, because that's conditional. That's conditional. That means if we do faint, we're not going to reap. Now, that could mean there could be a harvest out there for us and us not reap it. See, the harvest could be there, but you wouldn't reap it if you gave up or if you dug up your seed. Can you see that? See, you could literally faint on your harvest and not receive your harvest. Amen. How many people probably have gotten right to the door, you know, of reaping, and they gave up because of time? Amen. You know, I heard a preacher say when he was younger in the ministry, he said, you know, my wife and I, we started hearing about faith, you know, and about believing God and trusting God to supply our needs and so forth, which is all scriptural. And he said, you know, he said, so we just started believing for some things. We needed a new car and needed some clothing, you know. A lot of times you're just first starting out, you need about everything, you know. And so, you know, he said, now we're believing that it'll be by this such a time, you know, and put a date on it, time on it. And he said, you know, he said, we were so excited, you know, about our stuff coming in, you know. And he said, you know, he said, that day, it hadn't shown up yet, but he said, we were excited, you know. And so he said, we sitting there watching the clock, you know, and it's just a little bit before midnight, and it still hadn't come. And so, but we're still believing God. He said, but finally the clock, you know, it got past midnight, 1 minute past midnight, and he said our feathers fell. He said the faith went out of us. And he said, I just don't understand that. He said, so I was, one day praying about it and said, Lord, you know, I thought I was in faith, and obviously I don't know what faith is because I thought I was in faith. He said, the Lord spoke back to him. He said, well, you let a little thing on the wall with a spring in it, you know, determine your faith. God never promised to meet us on our time frame. He just said he'd supply it. He said, I realized right then I'm the one that set the time. And he said, well, is it too late? And the Lord said, no, it's not too late. He said, I got back on my faith. He said, we'd believe in for a new car, brand new car, because he said, you know, the one we had wasn't any good, you know. And he said, you know, some time went by, quite a bit of time went by. But he said, we're just still in faith about it because they'd heard from God, you know. Don't just let time determine it. He said, so we stayed in faith. He said, one day my wife came home from work and she said, honey, let's go. Let's go to town. Well, why? She said, my boss told me, I think it was a boss or somebody, it was somebody, help me out. Somebody came to her and told her, I want to buy you and your husband a new car. Well, hallelujah. That's what they were believing for. He almost lost it because of something on the wall. Yeah. Called a clock. I've done the same thing. I've made the same mistakes growing up in faith, learning about faith, you know, putting time on it. And, you know, unless you don't, you just let God handle it. Right? Just trust Him. Amen? And don't dig up your faith seed. See, this guy, this man I'm talking about, he dug up his faith seed for a while until the Lord, you know, showed him that, you know, hey, you can get right back on it. You're the one that quit. You don't want to quit believing. Amen. You know, a lot of people don't know these things, but really they're scriptural. Jesus said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them. See, there's your faith seed, and you shall have them. Shall implies time sometimes. See, wait for the vision. Tarry for it. It'll show up. Amen. And if you're just staying faith, it'll show up at the right time. Just right on time. Amen. Now, all right, let's go to, I tell you what, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to read something here in 1 Corinthians 13. Because, you know, this goes along what we're talking about you know, the time element sometimes on believing God, your faith projects and the time element. I remember a couple in this church one time came to me. I've told this story before, but it fits in here really good. I had a couple come from the church here, and were believing God. They were struggling financially, and of course, had I have known they were struggling financially, I would have helped them with whatever we could have, you know. But you know, I have to know. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes people are sick, and well, why didn't you pray for me, Pastor? Well, you didn't tell me you're sick. It didn't tell me to call for the sick people. It said, let the sick call the elders of the church. Yeah. So, you know, we have people that miss here habitually. Well, got quiet on that. You're here. Well, I don't know why. You're all here all the time. You're the faithful people. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, see, you got to understand this about pastoring. Maybe it'll help you. You know, there's some people that miss. You don't think anything about it because that's all they do. They're still like, well, I don't go anywhere else. Love your church. Love you, Miss Phyllis. Man, you my pastor, you know. And, you know, I see you once every 4 weeks or so. And I'm supposed to think something's wrong because you're not there for 3 weeks? See? Now, some people, if they're gone one service, they'll think, what's up? And you people are like that, all right? So you know, I don't know why I got off on that, where I was headed with that. But anyway, that was a good preaching anyway. You know, so you know what I'm saying. So I'm trying to think why I was even talking about that. I was headed somewhere. Well, anyway, as you found 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because we're talking about this, just some of these things that we need to think about on this time issue, see. I'm thinking about time and about not allowing that to mess you up, because we don't know everything. Right? We don't know everything that's going on. We don't ever know. God's got timing for some things. Some things need to come at the right time. Amen? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, look with me at verse 9. It says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Well, that means we don't have it all, right? See, every prophecy is just part. Thank God for the part, right? But, you know, that's not all of it. That's why we don't base our lives on prophecies, because they're just part. You know, prophecy should always confirm. It should always be confirmation. And there's a lot of things I could teach about that. That's not our subject tonight. But I wanted you to see the part. What Paul said, we know in part. He's talking about himself, right? Yeah. I know in part, Paul's saying. You know in part. We know in part. We prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now he goes on to talk about what he means by that which is perfect. He's talking about when we see the Lord face to face. See? When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. How many know, as a child only sees life in part? They don't see everything. They don't think about, you know, why mom and dad work. They just know they do. They don't think about that. See, they just got part. As they grow, they get more parts. When they're younger, the only part they think about is their needs. If I need fed, wham. If I need change, wham. If I'm uncomfortable, wham. I don't care that it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You got to get up and go to work. Why? Because they don't have all the part of life. That's just, they just got a small part. As they grow, they get more parts. Well, how many know spiritually, we don't have all the parts yet. Amen. We're growing, right? And that's what Paul's saying. He said, you know, we don't have all the parts. He says, for now, verse 12, we see through a glass darkly or dimly, but then face to face. See, there's come a time when we're going to see the Lord face to face, and we'll know as we're known, right? For now I know, and everybody, there it is again, in part. But then I shall know even as I'm also known. So when we're talking about believing God, we're talking about planting our faith seed, and things don't look like they're manifesting very quickly. We don't know everything yet, right? We just see it in part. We don't always know why things don't come to pass in our time frame. That's not our job. Our job is to stay in faith. Our job is to walk out the plan by faith. Our job is not to allow what we don't know or we don't understand cause us to dig up our faith seed. People say, I just don't understand why I'm not healed yet. Well, that's really not your part. Your part's to stay in faith. Your part isn't to figure it out. He's the one without understanding. I can guarantee you he's not the problem. So you got to learn, you got to just settle that in your heart that he's not the problem. Well, I don't understand why my financial miracle hadn't come yet, Pastor. I don't understand why my loved one hadn't been delivered yet, Pastor. I don't understand. Well, I don't understand it all either, because I don't know all the parts. But here's what I do know. What I'm supposed to do is keep my faith seed in the ground and allow it to produce a harvest for me. Amen. See, verse 13 is connected to what he's saying about us just having, we're just kind of in the part. place right now. All right? But he says, now, in this part place, abides faith, hope, and love. These three, the greatest of these is love. So right now, what we need to be concerned about is, first of all, faith, he said. So in what we're talking about, we're going to, you know, there's three forces here, faith, hope, and love. But in what we're talking about faith tonight. So we're supposed to just stay in the faith zone, even though we're just in the part zone. See, faith and trust are a lot alike. They're a little bit different, but they're a lot alike. You know, trust means I just trust the character of God. Amen. And that's connected with faith. I may not know everything. I may not know why it's not coming to pass. I may not know why it hasn't manifested. But once again, that's not for me. That's not my job. If the Lord wants to show me that part, He can show me. But my part's just to stay in faith. My part's to keep my faith seed in the ground and don't dig it up to see why it hadn't sprouted. Because once you do that, you abort the process. It's got to be in the soil of your heart. Amen. Now, so I want to talk about this just a little bit, this time thing, because it's important that we don't let time defeat us. When, you know, we don't let that dig up, because I've done that before, I've been believing God for something, and then, you know, it doesn't come to pass quickly, and after a while, I just forget about it. I'm like, oh, okay. See, you're short-circuiting the power, and you're robbing yourself of the blessing. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You know, there is, and that doesn't mean that every time we believe for something, we have to stand for years and years and years. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that's not even our part right there. Paul said it this way: I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So I do the planting. Man does the planting. He does the watering. So you plant the seed. How do you water the seed? Well, with more of the Word, by keeping the Word on it, see. I plant, Paul said, Apollos watered, but God's the one who gave the increase. Amen. Amen. Now, you say, well, it doesn't work for me. Well, it doesn't work for people that say it doesn't work. Amen. It doesn't work for people that just try it. It doesn't work for people that are just lazy with it. Or half-hearted about it. It doesn't work. The devil will see to it doesn't work. He'll. I guarantee you, if he can keep you out of the blessing and promise of God, he'll do it. Because he doesn't want you to find out that the Word works. Because once you find out the Word works, his dominion's over with in your life. He knows his days of ruling you and running. Your life's over with. Amen. So it does work. Amen. I've stood for things like healing. And, you know, once again, I don't have all the answers to this. I personally believe God's best and perfect will is instant healing. I just do. Do I always walk in God's best? Well, for whatever reasons. But, you know, maybe that's not even a good way to say it. I don't know. But the thing of it is this, sometimes some things do take a little time, and you just have to stand for it. Amen. Because you got a devil out there. That's a better way to say that probably. Is you got a devil out there that contends and fights against it. And sometimes we build character when we stand. You know, if everything's just handed to you. You see that with parents sometimes where they just give their kids everything. They just protect them and give them everything. They're going to end up having a hard time making it in life because they haven't learned to fight for themselves, stand, work. Amen. I'll give my dad credit. You know, he may not have been serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He may not have cared whether we smoked cigarettes or not, which he didn't. You know, when I was a kid, I rode my dirt bike to the store and tried to buy a pack of cigarettes. I was about 12 years old. And so the lady at the store, being a good mama, asked me, are those for you or for your, who are those for? I said, oh, they're for my dad. She says, well, tell him to come in. I said, well, he's not out there. He sent me to get them. She said, well, I'm not going to sell them to you. I thought, you know, if we had more people like that in society that had a brain. She not only didn't sell them to me, she called my mom and told her I tried to buy them. So when I got home, Mom was waiting on me and said, you tried to buy cigarettes at the store. So when Dad got home, she told Dad that I tried to buy cigarettes at the store. He didn't think there was anything wrong with it. But anyway, but here's one good thing he did put into me. I won't tell you what he said because it's not sanctified. But one thing he put into us is something called work. Amen. I just got the revelation that he had kids so they'd work for him. Amen. And he taught me how to do that. Amen. And so, thank God. He taught me a lot of good things. Don't misunderstand me. But he just, stuff like that, cigarettes and stuff like that, he just thought that's nothing. No kids are going to do that, you know. And anyway, but, you know, that wasn't right. But that's just the way he was. And so, but, you know, sometimes when we have to struggle, we have to fight, you know, put something in us, put some character in us. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You know, and I'm not saying God's withholding things, but I'm telling you, sometimes we do, you know, he led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That's what the Bible says, the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil or to be tested by the devil. So he led him in that, right? That's what the Bible says. All right, so, but it's so you can come out. But when he came out, the Bible said he came out in the power of the Spirit. So God's goal is always to bless you. See, we know, you read in James, it talks about Job going through his trial and the end of the Lord, what the Lord had intended for Job. And it says you can see what the end of the Lord was. Well, when we go back to Job, we can see what God had in mind for Job when Job went through his trial. And so Job got twice as much as what he had before. That was God's plan. The devil's plan was to destroy his faith. God's plan was to bless him double. So sometimes we do go through things, and we do struggle sometimes and fight the good fight of faith, right? If the Bible says fight a good fight of faith, it means sometimes we're going to have to fight faith. So that means that. It just means, though, that if God tells us to fight the good fight of faith, it means if we fight it, we're going to win. That's the good part. And God's promised us victory. Amen? He doesn't want us to lose on any front. And so I've had to stand for healing for things for sometimes a while. You know, because the devil will tell you, well, you know, that's just in your genes, you know. You know, that's just this family thing, you know, because my family has a history of having neck problems, okay? You know, my father had to have neck surgery. My brother had to have neck surgery. My sister had to have some kind of surgery with her vertebrae and all. So there's like a genetic thing there that there's a weakness. Are you following what I'm saying? So I don't know. It was a few years back, all of a sudden that came on me. I couldn't get my hand any higher than that. I couldn't get it behind my back. I couldn't turn my neck hardly at all. It just popped and creaked and hurt like crazy. And it just went on, and I just kept believing God. And the devil said, well, you're going to have surgery like all your family members had to have surgery. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me. But I saw, you know, I don't like pain. I'm not a fan of it. And I saw them go through surgery, and I saw how painful that surgery is. And I thought, I don't want that. I mean, you know, it hurts now, but I don't want that. I'm not going to go in there and have that done on purpose. So I just started believing God, trusting God, you know, believing God. Well, I'm going to tell you, it didn't come overnight. It took several months, maybe even over a year. Are you hearing me now? But I just kept at it. I'd say, devil, I'm not having surgery. I'm not doing it. Now, once again, I hope you hear with my heart. I'm not saying there would be anything wrong to do that. And if you need to do that, you need to do that. But I had my faith on it. I knew I had it by faith. Amen. I had my seed in the ground. And I stood and I stood and I stood. Well, I can't tell you. I wasn't like one day, you know, bam. You know, I felt the anointing and the glow come on me. And, you know, an angel flew in the room and, you know, hit me with a glory ball. And all of a sudden it's gone. But one day I just noticed, wait a minute here. Hey, I can move my neck all along. I can do, ooh, hey, I can wash behind my back now. It's been months since that spot's been washed. I can reach it, actually. Glory. Hallelujah. I don't know what happened, but it just happened. And I'll tell you, occasionally the devil will try to bring a little bit of that back. I say, oh, no, you don't. I'm healed of that. You got to stand your ground. Yeah. Oh, no. Amen. Now, I don't know why it didn't happen instantly, but I'll tell you one thing. I made a bigger fighter out of me. I can tell you that. It's like, you know, I ain't giving up. That's right. I've already had victory. You get seasoned. How many know that? You know, when you're a young pastor and somebody doesn't like your sermon, it just blows your whole day. You know, man, I've had thousands of them didn't like my sermon. I'm seasoned. It doesn't bother me any longer. I figure if God liked it and I liked it, you know, I normally don't like them myself, but, you know, so. But if God liked it and my wife liked it, then we're good. Hallelujah. I got to live with both of them. I don't have to live with you. Amen. You know, or somebody's going to leave the church. I mean, when we first start, you know, somebody's going to leave the church. Man, I've had thousands of them leave now. If everybody left this church was here tonight, we wouldn't be here tonight. If everybody signed one of those visitor cards, man, I'm telling you, we'd have one of the larger churches in town if they were still here. Probably the largest church in town. There's been that many passed through here. I don't know why we keep their cards. Throw them away. They're not coming back. All right. I guess we're like the Baptists. You ever sign a card, you're here forever. You know what I'm saying? There's more Baptists than there are people alive, because they never clear the rows of people. Even they've been dead for 40 years, they're still on the road. We'll give them a proxy vote. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. But sometimes things don't happen overnight, you know, and we just have to keep our faith in our faith seed in the ground. Now let's go to Isaiah. We're going to close out here in just a little bit, but I want to give the kids time to have fun. Isaiah chapter 64. So I don't want to close too soon. Isaiah 64. Get them really sugared up high and send them home with you. Oh, you should have seen, man, our first building. Many of you weren't ever at that first building, but that first building, it was a building that had different things in it, and we were on the very end of it, down on this end, but down on this other very end, there was like, you know, things in between, but we were on this end, and down on the very end was a bakery, donut bakery, and they baked them all the nighttime, and they had a glass window there where you could watch them, you know, doing the dough and all that, you know, and all. But they had their doors locked because they weren't open for business. They were just baking them, and they would take them to businesses the next morning. And the kids, like Jill, who was a kid then, and, you know, the Caldemeyer girls and all the kids that we have, they'd go down there, and they'd press their noses up against that glass and watch those guys make those donuts. Well, those guys would come out and give them donuts. You know, they'd see that. They'd give the kids donuts. The kids would come running back down to church and got donuts, and just, they'd be higher than a kite. Send them home. Let me remember that. Remember that? I remember it. All right, most of you weren't there, but you know, they get them donuts. Amen. So we're going to let the kids get a little high tonight. Amen on sugar and send them home with you. Amen. I'm going home to peace and quiet. Hallelujah. I'm peace. She's quiet. Hallelujah. Isaiah 64, are you there? Look at verse 4. It says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived with the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he has prepared for them that wait for him." Now that tells me, while we're waiting, God's preparing things. You know, one translation says that, well, he acts while we wait. See? So, well, in other words, now waiting, what does that mean? That doesn't just mean, you know, just passing time. Waiting in the Bible means we're waiting in faith. When you study the word wait in the Bible, it's talking about waiting in faith. It's connected. So when we're waiting in faith, while we're waiting, you know, for the manifestation, for the harvest, God's working and he's preparing things. You know, it's like, you know, I've told this over and over again, but Brother Copeland said this years ago. I was listening to him on a cassette tape, and I have a lot of old cassette tapes of his. Some of them where he was preaching, you know, in somebody's living room. I mean, that's as big as the meeting was, you know. And so, but one time he said this guy came to me and he said, you know, he said your ministry took off overnight. And Brother Copeland, I love these answers. He said, yeah, I did. He said it was the longest night I ever spent. He said, it took us 10 years to get 50 people come to the meetings. He said, but all that time we were making cassette tapes. They're little white things that have... And we were making cassette tapes, and he said, those... And we were just, you know, we were making those, and those were going out all over the world. We didn't know it, but he said, you know, we people at the meetings would buy them, and then they'd pass them around. He said, we found out that some of them even went to Japan. He said, so they were going all over this place. He said, we didn't know that was happening. We just thought we were making it for people that came to the meetings. But the people in the meetings were reproducing them and giving them away, and they were reproducing them, and they were growing, and people were, you know, hearing about him through this method. That was just God's method of broadcasting in those days, you know. And he said, you know, all of a sudden one day, then bam, it did take off. He said, we went from zero radio stations 1 year to 600-some in a year's time. That's phenomenal. I mean, Rush Limbaugh, who's, you know, 20 million people listen to this program. He's the number one talk radio host in the history of the world. And that's about how many stations he's on. Maybe not even that many. So to show you how big a deal this was, to start the year with zero, and before the year's out, you're on 600 and some stations, it does look like your ministry took off overnight. But he said they weren't there when all this was, God was working. See, while they were waiting for the vision all those years, God was working behind the scenes. They didn't know it, but he was working, and there came a time when it was harvest time, and bam, there it was. Amen. Hallelujah. God's setting things up for you. Now, if you dig up your faith seed, the process is aborted. So you could be that close to your miracle and give up because time, pressure, maybe things look worse. And sometimes things do look a little worse before they get better. I don't like any of this more than you do. But I've just learned it's part of the faith life. It's part of fighting the good fight of faith. You just stay with it even though, you know, You got to settle in your heart that God's Word's final authority. What He said, that's it. If He said it, that's it. It cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. Are you with me now? See, a lot of people are wanting the church to change its moral values. We can't change our moral values because they're not ours. They're God's. I can't change what He said. There's no way it can happen. Now, you could get everybody in the church to change, but you're not going to get God to change, so it's still the same. Nothing's changed. You're still going to answer according to His standards, not the church's standards. Unless the church's standards are God's standards, and then you're answering to God's standards. Right? People are like, well, they won't come to our church because you guys expect too much. Well, listen, they didn't us expect too much. We do. We have people that won't come. People have gotten mad. Left because, well, your standards are too high. Well, they're not our standards to start with. If they're our standards, you can blow them off. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to mean heaven or hell to you. But if they're God's standards, you're just stuck with them. I don't care who you are, whether you're in the church, out of the church, the worst sinner on the planet, you're still stuck by God's standards. Amen. Are you with me now? I mean, every person that's died is going to be judged by God's standards, not by Oasis Church standards. You can't change it. Well, you just need to chill a little bit. You tell that to God. Tell Him to chill. See, you know what I'm saying? If you can talk Him into changing His Word, His laws, and I'm cool with it, I'll go with Him. Amen. All right, you know. As long as He still says adultery is wrong, I guess it's still wrong, right? Right. Like He says sleeping around is wrong, it's wrong. He says, you know, homosexuality is wrong, it's wrong. Right? You know, he says lying's wrong, it's wrong. Right. Stealing's wrong, it's wrong. Murder's wrong, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. Can't change it. Abortion's wrong, it's wrong. God says it's wrong, it's wrong. We can't change that. Well, I just think y'all, you know, that's what they're saying. I just think y'all just chill a little bit. You know, that's just your interpretation of the Word of God. No, it's just plain written. I mean, that's just as stupid as if I run the stop sign and I get pulled over, run the stop sign, and I just tell the police, well, that's your interpretation of what that means. That's not the way I read it. It doesn't matter how you read it. You're still going to get a ticket. Are you with me? Dr. Barclay was speeding. Can you believe that? And he gets pulled over. And so the policeman said, you know, he sees that he's a reverend, you know. He says, "Reverend," he says, "you know why I pulled you over?" He said, "Yeah, because I was doing 19 miles over the speed limit." He said, "You admit it?" He said, "Well, might as well." He said, "I tell the truth." He said, "Besides, you got equipment. You already know how fast I was going." He said, "I've never had anybody tell me the truth before, to be honest." He said, "I'm going to let you go." Well, the truth's the truth, right? Amen. We don't lie for nobody. God's not going to change, right? You know, people are trying to get us to change. Forget, I can't change. If you talk God into it, let me know and let him tell me, and then we'll change. But I don't think that's going to happen because his word is settled in forever. Amen. All right. One more scripture. Did you get something tonight?
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go there. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And we'll close right here in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Amen, amen, amen. Hebrews chapter 4. Shouldn't be that hard to find Hebrews. There it is. It's right where I left it. Hebrews chapter 4. Go with me to verse 14. The Bible says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest." How many know that's Jesus, right? He's passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. "Let us hold fast our confession." Now, why should we hold fast our confession? Because we've got a high priest that's passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. See, he says the same thing in Hebrews 10, if you want to go there real quickly. Hebrews 10, 23, he said, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised."
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. So we just hold fast to our confession. Why? Because we have a high priest that's passed through the heavens. He's in the heavenlies, and if we hold fast to our confession of faith, he's working on behalf of what we're saying.
Yeah.
That's why we're to hold fast to it. Why do we hold fast? He tells us why to hold fast. Because we have a high priest that's passed through the heavens. We got somebody that's representing us before God. That's why he said, "Hang on to it," because you got somebody up there working on your behalf. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So he's working on our faith project as long as we have our faith seed in the ground. He's working on it, and it's going to come to pass. Don't dig it up. Like Brother Caps told Brother Leon, don't dig that up. Brother Leon didn't dig it up. 2 weeks or a week, I can't remember, it was a real short time, a week or 2 weeks, he sold his house for cash, for his asking price. The guy brought his checkbook in and went with him. Well, you know, you can't just write a check out and here's the, you got to go through the legalities of it, but he brought his checkbook. Probably wrote him out, I don't remember if he said, probably wrote him out a deposit right there on the spot. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You just got to stick with it, amen. Just don't dig it up. Don't dig it up. You say, "Well, I dug it up." It's already dug up, Pastor. Okay. Put it back in the ground.
Amen.
It's that simple. Put it back in the ground. I've dug them up before, too. But you have to put it back in the ground.
Amen.
So that it can come to pass. Amen.
Amen.
Did you get something out of this tonight?
Amen.
Little simple teaching. But it's really rich with truth. It's really rich with revelation if you get a hold of it. A lot of people, and I believe better things of you, but a lot of people don't have any staying power any longer. You just can't stick with it, you know. And but thank God for those that can. One of my favorite fighters of all time, boxer, and Phyllis, she's let me know that's not going to be in heaven. And I believe her. I'm not saying it's sanctified, but I just like to, I like to watch it. And so I've got all kinds of, I've got career, people's careers, the whole career, you know, on DVD, you know. Several different people, fighters, I've got their whole career on DVD, all their fights. And so, yeah, I've watched them all, you know. And but one of my favorite fighters was a guy by the name of Evander Holyfield. Now, I like Evander because, not just because he was a Christian, actually got healed in a Benny Hinn meeting of a heart condition. Actually, he had a heart condition that was going to derail, stop his boxing career, and he went to a Benny Hinn meeting and got healed and continued his career. And so, but because he had such staying power, such heart, I've watched him get in fights, and this is for us guys. You women can listen in if you want. But I watched him one time. He fought. He fighting for the heavyweight championship, and he and I watched him. And I'm telling you, I'm watching this fight, and I'm thinking it's over with. It's over with. He's done. He can't even hardly stand up. He's just staggering, and he can't. It's over with. It's all done. And I'm hearing there was a boxer. He's a preacher now. His name was George Foreman. And he's one of the commentators, and he's standing up, and he's yelling at the ref. You can hear him. You can hear him on the recording. He's yelling at the ref, "Stop the fight! Stop the fight! Stop the fight!" They just let him keep on going. And he had such heart that before the round was over, he about had the other guy knocked out and won the fight. He had some staying power to him. He just stuck with it. Anybody ever been there before where you felt like, I'm about to, they need to stop the fight? Don't stop the fight. It isn't over if you don't quit.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes you feel like, stop the fight. Nah. We're winners.
Right.
Keep it going. I may be staggering. Amen. I may be a knockdown, but I got back up. I may be bouncing off the ropes. But don't stop the fight. Keep the fight of faith going.
Amen.
Glory to God, and you will win. Amen. You will win. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.